You're listening to Comics with Kenobi!
Young Padawan Edition!
Geek me all knowing box sets stay open May 4th. I'm hoping Luke gonna be hot as before. Cause Ren looks hardcore and I don't want Sith running the galaxy.
That sounds nothing like me, nor nothing like you. I wonder why that is. Roll call, who's here? Sound off.
Me.
Micah, Amy, Emily. We're the Nalen family.
Hello, Nalen family, and this is Matt, and this is my son.
Jerry Moore.
Also known as me.
And I'm Jeff. I don't have any kids without four legs. They might make an appearance on the show, whether we want them to or not.
Well, that we would welcome all comers, definitely all species, whether they're bipedal or quadrupedal or even octopedal. Welcome to the inaugural issue of Comics with Kenobi, Young Padawan's Edition. I am Matt Moore, co-host of Comics with Kenobi, and as the Nalen family said, we are joined by Amy and Emily and Micah, as well as myself and Jerry, and we are here on this podcast this month, next month, and every month beyond that to talk about IDW Publishing's new Star Wars Adventures comics. IDW, when they first announced this, said that this was going to be something geared toward younglings, and as I like to say, younglings at heart, and it includes pictures, which means Jeff McGee is very happy and can understand everything we're going to see and to read and to talk about.
Yay.
And a lot like the monthly podcast. We are going to just go dive right in, except we're just going to have fun talking about it. It's not going to be too long, and we're not going to go page by page because, frankly, when you have three young Padawans, attention spans can be somewhat tight. So, to start with, let us go with the Nalen family. Go!
All right. Well, Star Wars Adventures issue number one was, written by Kevin Scott. The art was done by Derek Charm, and the letterer was Tom B. Long. And part one, there's two parts to these issues. One is a story that part one is in this issue. Part two is resolved in issue two. And then there's a Tales from Wild Space that's in each of these issues. So this issue one, part one, starts off with Better the Devil You Know, and it's a story about Rey on Jakku before The Force Awakens starts. And she is on a mission to rescue Unkar Plutt. What did you guys think of this issue?
I loved it.
I don't really remember much.
It made quite an impression, clearly.
That's okay. That's what we're here for.
I didn't really understand the first couple of pages and, how she found comlinks on a ship that's like 100 years old. Like, that's just not logical.
Well, but think about it, though, because Jakku is sort of a junkyard planet because they had the big space battle that was in the Aftermath trilogy.
True.
And this is where the Empire made its last stand. So Jakku is covered with all the debris from all the spaceships from both the Rebels and the Empire.
True.
And don't forget, Jerry, this is only maybe, what, at most 15, 20 years?
Oh.
Do we think?
And I love page 9, how the two raiders accidentally blow up the ship, and then Rey just leaves them there.
That was pretty cool.
Right.
I enjoyed that a lot. Emily, Micah, what did you think about this story? What did you think about this new adventure of Rey?
I really liked it.
Why?
I can't remember.
Okay.
One of the things that when we read it out loud that we commented on is that there were some of the people that were in the background at The Force Awakens that we haven't heard a lot about that we recognize from maybe the trading cards or the action figures like Constable Zuvio that are still on the pegs.
Constable Zuvio forever.
Yes. And so it was kind of fun to see some of those creatures and aliens and Baba Joe in the background.
That was a lot of fun, I thought, Amy, particularly because it was, you know, I mean, a lot of the more focused Star Wars comics fans who obviously saw The Force Awakens were kind of hoping. We kind of got the impression that we would see a lot of Constable Zuvio since he was a Wave One action figure.
And we did see a lot of him on pegs at stores, but that's about it.
And you still can. they can't even get them out on clearance anymore. People won't buy them. So no, but no, you're right. This was a great way to sort of reintroduce a lot of these characters that were in the background. And I don't want to call them peripheral characters, but I also liked how Kevin Scott and Derek Charm brought us these new villains. I mean, you know, because the whole crux of this the first part of the Ray story was, you know, that Zul Zindiat has kidnapped Unkar Plutt. And, you know, I'm kind of okay with Unkar Plutt being kidnapped because he doesn't really seem to be a nice person to begin with. But it's kind of like what Zul Zindiat thinks that Plutt has got this droid that they're looking for. And it turns out that maybe looks like Ray has it because it kind of looked how it ended, no?
Droid.
Exactly.
One thing I liked, too, is that it – sorry to interrupt. It showed a kind of reinforced Ray's kindness, which we saw like in the Forces of Destiny shorts. And also, you know, she's fierce, she's strong, and she's a survivor. And it kind of laid some of that groundwork for why she's able to do what she does in The Force Awakens.
Exactly. Jerry, did you see that point as well? How Rey is very, she doesn't really need anybody's help and that she can do what needs to be done. And yet she knows what's right to do.
Yes. But what I didn't realize, Unkar Plutt was a blobfish.
Right, that's what they called him. I got a question for you guys. What did you think about Rey's decision, even though Unkar Plutt is kind of her adversary, kind of her enemy, what did you guys think about her decision to go and try to save him?
Well, she kind of had to, otherwise she was going to starve to death.
Well, not necessarily, because Krenud is taking over his business. But that's where the title comes from.
Yeah, but Unkar was sort of fair. Like, he would give Rey, like, if Rey found some comlinks, like, if Rey given the comlinks to him, and he hadn't gotten kidnapped, he probably would have given her, like, 5 portions for, like, each, because comlinks are hard to come by.
That's very true.
Got a point. Emily, Micah, do you think Unkar Plutt is being fair?
Do you think he's fair?
I don't know why she did that. I don't really know why, but I don't know.
I think maybe she knew him, and so it's like the title of the story said, like, the devil you know. Sometimes it's better to have something that's not good, but at least you know what you're dealing with than an unknown.
Wait, can I say something? Can I take a little break?
Of course you can.
Because I'm getting a bit mad.
Okay. Okay.
Jerry, did you want to say something?
Okay. Stop rubbing out my earplug, Dad.
Sorry.
So, one of the things I really don't understand, what is so important about the J9 droid's head? Like, well, is there like a galaxy secret hidden in it?
Yeah, we don't really know yet. We just know that they think that he's got information that they're going to be, that's going to be useful to them.
That's kind of what they call the MacGuffin of the story.
Hmm.
Am I using that term correctly, Amy, MacGuffin?
I think so. Yeah. It also reminded me of how, like, in The Force Awakens, everybody's looking for BB-8 and is so interested in BB-8. So it's kind of like, we get the idea that maybe kind of illicit stuff comes through Jakku or is searched for on Jakku fairly often. So what happens with BB-8 is just part of everyday business.
Right.
It's like the secondhand thrift store and exchange shop. Right.
So what did you guys...
Buy all your back-to-school supplies at Unkar Plutt thrift store. Now 50% off.
What did you guys think about the...
Or 50 portions off.
What did you guys think about the way the story ended, where we find out that there are these... Ripper Raptors, which are basically Ripper buzzards Raptors circling around, and the guys who have kidnapped Unkar Plutt have him chained down to the ground, and it kind of ends on what's called a cliffhanger. What did you guys think about that?
I really like the way they did that, but I don't like how I sort of think they should be like real buzzards and eat it once it's dead and not eat it alive.
That might be even creepier.
Yeah. So are we going? Are we
Mike? Mike. Mike,
are
you
going to
say something?
I am back.
Welcome back.
We are glad. Well, should we go? Hey, Mikey, should we go to the second story in the first issue about the Tales from Wild Space?
Of course we can.
Yay.
Yay.
So this is really cool. The second part of it I do like the design of the droids. I like B00.
Boo.
Boo. And M Crater. All right. First off, here's what I think he is. A C-3PO's head gone wrong. An R2-D2's body. The arm of a super battle droid and a regular battle droid. And then the bottom half are those probe droids.
I think you're probably right on that. Yeah, he's definitely cobbled together. And we should say that this has a different creative team than the first story. This one was written by Kevon Scott, penciled by John Somariva, inked by Sean Parsons, colored by Charlie Kirchhoff, and lettered by Tom B. Long. And these are sort of dispatches from this guy named, what's his name? What is the character's name, the main character?
Dex?
Dex.
No.
No,
you've gotten too far in. because this is all the story. Each story is set up on the freighter. And Emil Graff, and he's the grandson of Milo Graff. And what's fun is Kevon Scott, and you know, Kevon, let us know if we're mispronouncing your name, because we're pronouncing it three different ways, and we're gonna try to come up with a fourth and unique way to pronounce it as well, because if anything, we are not about being consistent. Kevon has written the wild space sort of novellas and short stories that you can find on Amazon that are about Milo. And so this is a nice, great way to sort of bring in these interesting tales of the Star Wars universe through his grandson, because he's relating them to his droids, Boo and Crater,
and
aboard the Star Herald.
His other companion, Noni, the little red monkey thing.
Monkey lizard, yeah.
That's right. And that was in Return of the Jedi at Jabba's Palace.
Yep.
So we get a story. Now, we get a story that's set on Dexter Jetster's Dex's Diner on Coruscant, which we saw in Attack of the Clones. And what did you guys think of this story? Did you get anything out of this story?
A funny laugh.
I think I'll let Emily kind of say we were super excited to see Dexter again. So Dexter's a character we really like from Attack of the Clones. So it was awesome to get some content with him again.
Finally.
What I liked was the storyline, but the hilarious plot twist at the end. Tree Tellen, she thinks she's stolen something extremely valuable.
Yeah, from Obi-Wan Kenobi, no less.
And it turned out to be a paperweight.
Yeah, it just goes to show you, crime never pays, right?
It never does.
Especially against a Jedi.
Right. And I don't know. I like these little short little snippets of stories. Do you guys like that
structure? I really like this.
Did you like it, Emily?
Yeah, I loved it. It was one of the best comics they ever made in Star Wars.
Did you like it better than the first story?
Oh, no. I loved them both.
All right. So now that pretty much wraps up the first issue, what do you guys think of the second one?
Well, I have some thoughts, but let me introduce the first story, because again, this has got two stories in it. And of course, the first story is Better the Devil You Know Part 2, which is written by Kevon Scott and drawn by Derek Charm and lettered by Tom B. Long.
And the Tales from Wild Space is The Flat Mountains of Yavin. Writers are Elsa Charitier and Perry Colinet?
Yeah, this is Elsa Charretier and Perry Colinet. They're both from France. And of course, Elsa was the artist on the second part, and then Sarah Stern did the colors, and Tom B. Long, of course, did the letters. Do you guys want to take us out?
Sure. This issue picks up where the other one left off, with Unkar Plutt in danger of being eaten by those birds, the Ripper Raptors. And so what does Rey do?
She goes and saves him.
She shows some smarts and uses one of those comlinks to try and get him free.
Actually, hang on a sec. I think she...
just what Ms. Nayland said. She used one of the comlinks.
Comlinks around the ship, yes.
So
she used a bunch of comlinks to make it... Because she only used one... it wouldn't really make that much of a noise. She spread them. She, like, squat onto the ground and threw them all. What are we doing? Going to Lola style now?
I don't know. Please keep going.
So, I'm guessing she bent, knelt on the ground and threw them under the ship. Because in the illustration, you can faintly see on the ground, like, black lines. Because they all look like comlinks, if you look
at them. It looks like she just put them all around the ship and on the ground. And then
she used a transmitter comlink to do her the squawk of a bloggin.
Which is impressive, because I guess that scared away all the... what were the other birds called?
No, I didn't scare them away. Because, look, they're still up there.
Okay.
Yes, see?
Oh, that's
the
right.
The Ripper Raptors.
The Ripper Raptors.
Right. But what I don't understand, when she deactivates the restraints, why does she get, like, electrocuted or something?
Well, she's deactivated Unkar Plutt's restraints, and
he gets her.
Yeah, Zindiat Zul gets her.
Ah.
So... And they were all pretty impressed with the way she used her brains to kind of try to fool them, thinking that all of these bloggins were attacking.
And is that tiny blue dude with red eyes floating, or is he just sitting on a wall?
Looks like he's floating.
He has wings?
Dang, no, those aren't wings. I think he just has levitation powers or a jetpack.
Could be. Emily, Micah, what do you think? Do you think he's floating, or do you think he has wings, or do you think he can just fly?
That guy right there.
I have no idea. Maybe it's a special Star Wars technology power.
Seems legit to me.
I would totally believe that.
I think, like, they have there's a colorful ribbon holding him, but they're just making it invisible.
Oh, that's a good idea. I could definitely see that.
Yeah.
Maybe one day we'll get to ask Derek Charm, the artist, about that, or Kevin Scott, the writer, and maybe he can tell us about it.
And on page 11, I really like the plot twist. Like, the readers think that Plutt just betrayed Rey, but what he did, he was pushing her back so the Ripper Raptors, and he took her corn clusters that he got from...
Unkar Plutt.
No, the old... What's the name of the old guy who was carrying all those animals in the first
Baba
issue?
Joe.
Baba Joe. He used the corn clusters that he gave her. He ripped them open and he threw them all around. And the Ripper Raptors just came in straight at them. And then... the reason he pushed her back was to get her away from all that.
Yeah, I thought that was a nice twist. Did you guys see that coming at all?
I just did not see that at all.
Yeah, nor did I. I figured Unkar Plutt was going to sell her out. So
that's what we thought, too. We were surprised that he actually did something decent.
Yeah.
Well, and then, you know, at the end, he actually, just skipping to the what end, he actually what? Sent her, how many food packs did he send her? 30 portions?
He sent her 30 portions. At least 30 portions and a broken holoprojector.
And as a thank you for saving his life. So does that give you guys a different opinion of the character of Unkar Plutt?
Very.
How about you, Emily? Does that make you think that any differently about Unkar Plutt?
At least I know there's some niceness in him.
Exactly, because you know I have to admit I was surprised. I didn't see this coming. I always thought he was just sort of a mean guy and. Looks like, you know, somewhere in that blobfish body is a blobfish blob heart.
His but blobfish heart grew three sizes that day.
What?
Well, it was a great way to end that two-part story. I really enjoyed that a lot.
Did you guys like the way it ended? Did you guys like the first or the second part better?
I have no idea. Like,
me too.
I personally liked I liked both parts. You couldn't have one without the other, but I liked the twist of Unkar saying thank you. Like, you know, because Rey kind of comments at one point that she doesn't, you know, of course he's not going to thank her. And then he ends with thanking her. And so one of the things we're seeing in the canon material that's more geared towards adults is that, you know, there are there are some bad guys, quote unquote, that are doing some good things, or they might be, you know, not just good. And so I thought this kind of was a good age appropriate way of showing that there could be more to somebody than meets the eye.
Yeah. And all right, so Tales from Wild Space.
The Flat Mountain of Yavin. And again, we're, you know, like the last issue, we're aboard the Star Herald in Wild Space.
And first panel.
Well,
adorable.
It was adorable. It was nice to see that Boob was all trapped in the wiring of the Star Herald. And of course, Crater was just, you know, saying, well, you can't get in there. It's, you know, you're not going to be able to fix it because, you know, it's, you know, you got to have a big solution for a big problem. But I don't think that's the case. And I like the story that Emil tells us, because he shows that you don't need big ideas to solve big problems. You just need good ideas, no matter whether they're big or small.
And it was really exciting to see someone that we met in the Leia comic, yes. Yvonne Verlaine. So it was really exciting to get to see her. And I know Emily, as a blonde, there's not a lot of blonde women in Star Wars. And so Yvonne was there. And so it was super cool to have someone that kind of looked like her, not only, you know, be an amazing pilot, but she also beat up a lot of Imperials in this story.
Yeah, Yvonne Verlaine is one of my favorite characters from the Princess Leia miniseries. And I, you know, I think supposedly, Jerry, you may not remember this, but we talked about this when we were waiting in line to go see Rogue One, is that apparently she was part of the rebel squadron that made the attack on Scarif. And
yeah, I remember that.
Okay. So even though we never saw her, but you know, if you look in the Rogue One visual guide, you get to see her helmet. So, and she's a great character, and this is such a great story, because this is almost like what, Emily Micah, this is what, right after the Death Star explodes, right?
Yes, the rebels were still celebrating.
Are you Emily or Micah?
Yes, I am. I am definitely Emica.
One of the pages that we really loved, ours aren't numbered because we have the paper copies, but it's
nice.
One of the second to last page of the story before the end, and Yvonne is letting Leia know, you know, Leia's saying evacuation complete, well done Yvonne, but there's the panel of Yvonne, or the picture of her with her arms up in the air, and she's saying yeah. I absolutely love that picture so much. Yeah.
Well, it was great because one thing that I really enjoy, because you know, my daughter Harper, she likes strong characters, and what was cool was she was really impressed with how they're on board the Star Destroyer. The Star Destroyer is coming toward the Rebel base at Yavin, and there's no way to stop it. And it looks like the Rebel base is doomed. So Yvonne has led a team up to the Star Destroyer. They've gotten to the bridge. And then they're trying to figure out, okay, well, it's locked, and we can't figure out how to make it stop. And we, you know, how are we going to do this? So, you know, all these rebel soldiers are arguing among themselves, you know, going do this, and no one is listening to her. And she's like, you know what? We don't have time. Fine, I'll handle this myself. And she grabs a ship out of the Star Destroyer shuttle bay, takes it out, and then what does she start doing, Jerry?
She doesn't start. Well, she flies it.
She rams it.
She rams it. But she gets out in the nick of time, and then they think that it didn't, but it moved fraction of an inch. It took the paint off the base.
Exactly.
And it just needs a fresh coat of paint.
Which is why, as Amy said, so cool to see Yvonne going yeah, and then everybody's everybody on the bridge of the Star Destroyer has got their hands up going pumping, fist pump. And it's great because Yvonne took a big problem and solved it with a small solution, but she solved it because she had a great idea.
And then on the last page, Boo couldn't do a thing about it. He was too large. The only problem, a screw was loose. Right. That was it.
Sometimes it's the smallest solutions that will fix the biggest problems. I have something I want to bring up for the older Padawans listening. Matt and Amy, I don't know if you noticed this or not. The second page of the comic, the first panel where we see at the top where we see Princess Leia running toward us, looks yes. like the way Leia was drawn in the old Marvel comics from the 70s and 80s.
The face especially, yes. to me, yes. very much looks like that. I haven't read all of those, but I've read some of them, and that's it definitely looks that way to me.
Oh, you are so right, Jeff. I had not seen that, but now that you mention it, I'm looking at this. You're exactly. It looks like Elsa has done this wonderful homage to what, like, Howard Chaykin did in the first five or six issues of the first volume of Star Wars.
I have to think that was on purpose, and that was something she threw in just for the adult readers that she knows are going to be picking these books up.
I wouldn't be surprised. You know, Elsa is among one of my most favorite artists. I mean, she did an amazing run on the Unstoppable Wasp earlier this year. It only lasted seven issues, but it's totally worth picking up. But she's one of my favorite artists, and that's one of the things I really like about Star Wars Adventures is we get to see all these different artists and writers, you know, basically play in the Lucasfilm sandbox with these stories.
And they're doing it in a really satisfying way. I know, like, when we read the issue two aloud, when we were done, Emily just said, that was so satisfying. Because I like that they're focusing on some of the smaller side characters and bringing them in a way that some of the other media isn't necessarily. And it's just really, really enjoyable.
Exactly, exactly. Now, of course, you know, there is another issue. You know, this is a monthly series, and Star Wars Adventures 3 is going to come out October 11th. And this is going to be a fun one because it's also going to have the same story layout. And the first story, it looks like it's going to be about Finn. And it's going to be written by Landry Q. Walker, who, funny enough, wrote the Baba Joe novella book, which we've read and have enjoyed.
And it looks like he's chasing some sort of
little creatures across one of the First Order Star Destroyers. But then the backup story, the Tales from Wild Space story, is going to be co-written by Alan Tudyk, and I think also with Shannon Denton, and it's going to feature Cassian Andor and K2SO and three baby Wookiees.
So we have K2SO writing K2SO.
At least co-scripting K2SO, you know it's going to be fun.
I'm excited. Are you guys excited?
Yes.
Nice Wookiee cry. I'm gonna pass. Yeah, I can't top that.
Dueling Wookiees. I think we're all winners of this one.
And that's gonna conclude it for this first inaugural episode of Comics with Kenobi Young Padawans. Thank you so much for joining us. We really hope you enjoyed it, and we really. We'll take home the spirit of how this book is aimed for younglings and for younglings at heart. We'll be here every month. And of course, you can get all the latest information and news about Star Wars Adventures from the Comics with Kenobi Twitter feed, facebook.com/ComicsWithKenobi. And you can find me on Twitter under Gorillascribe. And Amy, where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter at Amy Wishman, and you can also find my writings at unmistakablestarwars.com, and I guest on the monthly show there occasionally. I also do a monthly show that's in-depth character analysis with my friend Carl Hassler called The Force Discourse, and that's on the Unmistakably Star Wars feed.
And you need to read his stuff. It's really well done. And it's there's not a lot of people who make me pause and think, but Amy's writing, she does that.
Well, thank you. That's very kind of you.
Jeff, you do a podcast, right?
Yeah, you can find me on Talking Toys with Taylor and Jeff on MarvingDogMedia.com. You can hear me on The Geek Supreme on Assembly of Geeks. You can hear me on Comics with Kenobi on the Coffee with Kenobi feed. You can read my ramblings at CoffeeWithKenobi.com. And I think that's it. You can find me on Twitter at TheJeffMcGee or at MarvinDogMedia. You know, follow both while you're there. Just hit two birds with one stone.
And, of course, you can find Jerry Moore in school studying every day.
So for Comics with Kenobi, Young Padawan Edition, may the Force be with you.
Always.
'Comics with Kenobi's theme song is Mark Hamill Can Handle by Chris Cape. Check Chris out at chriscape.com and on SoundCloud, on Twitter at Chris Cape, and on Facebook.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and/or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here. Move along. Move along.
Don't want to see us running the galaxy. Don't want to see us running the galaxy. Don't want to see us running the galaxy. Don't want to see us running the galaxy.
Bud, stop peeing!